Never give up understanding the power of persistent prayer. In this parable, Jesus illustrates to his disciples the importance of persistent prayer through this story of a widow who, despite being ignored, she relentlessly seeks justice from an unjust judge until her perseverance pays off. It encourages believers to remain steadfast in prayer and trust in God's ultimate justice. This passage points to the character of God as a just judge who ultimately hears and responds to our pleas. As we dive into this passage, just 8 verses, we'll see that there are 3 parts that we will consider. The first is what drives such persistence. Desperation drives persistence. We see that in verse 1 to 3. Jesus told parables for various reasons. And these parables were basically to explain diverse spiritual principles. On this occasion, he told his disciples this parable on the need to always pray and not to give up. If you look at verse 1, because they were curious of, and they asked about prayer, this story was to address that particular question they had. And this story has 2 characters to it. The first character is a judge who was described as one who neither feared God nor had any respect for people. That account is in verse 2. And a widow who wanted justice against an unnamed adversary, verse 3. The Greek word for adversary means one who brings a lawsuit. Thus, this parable addresses a legal setting. From the outset, I'm sure you'll agree with me, this doesn't look good for the widow, since the judge cared nothing for God nor for people. What could persuade him to rule in her favor? Moreover, in those days, in the context of those days, if a widow didn't remarry or she didn't have a family to look after her, she could easily end up destitute. I wondered, and you may also wonder, why the widow kept going back to the judge. She was persistent because of her desperation and the hope that she will get justice. Her back was against the wall. There were no other options. Where else would she go than to go back to this judge? Her vulnerable and powerless position was a driving force for seeking justice. How does this relate to us? Sadly, many of us, old and young, often avoid praying to God in times of trouble, or we give up easily when the answer is delayed. Is it because we misjudge God as being stingy or mean, or that he doesn't care? I wonder if our prayerlessness is due to the belief that God knows our problems and our wants and our needs And therefore, we do not need to ask, because that would be like bothering him. Or is it that for some reasons we think God won't answer us? Persistence is a great skill of life. We should learn to apply that to our prayer life. God does listen. God does hear. He does feel. He knows. But he invites us to come to develop a relationship. Does any one of us have children who would not talk, you would not talk to your children, or your children won't talk to you? Persistence in prayer, mind you, does not work like a vending machine where the more you put in, the more you get out of it. God is not like that. He is good. God is good. And the Apostle Paul encourages us all in that classic verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we should cast all our cares upon him. That is, upon God, for he cares for us. Desperation, I believe, can drive us to deeper prayer and reliance on God, knowing that he cares for us and he cares about our prayer. Understanding the nature of God helps us to grasp the importance of persistence, especially when we face seemingly insurmountable circumstances. It is important, therefore, whether for big stuff, for small stuff, that we take our burdens to the Lord. So we have seen how desperation here drives persistence. We will now turn our attention to understanding our caring God, which is there for us from verse 4 to 5. We've seen how an unjust judge behaved, but now we want to turn our attention to see how our God cares for us. The judge in this parable was unrighteous, and he neither feared God nor regarded man. He was unwilling to act on the widow's request, but she wouldn't give up. In spite of her rejection of her case, the widow kept pestering him. So even though he didn't fear or respect people, he eventually gave in to her request. Why? So that she wouldn't wear him out. The Greek word for wear out can also mean to ruin one's reputation. Either way, he finally ruled in her favor against her opponent. The key to the widow's persistence was her legal right to justice. Jesus concluded that if an unjust judge who did not care about God, neither about man, could show kindness to a persistent widow, the just God will surely bring justice for his chosen ones. His chosen ones who cried out to him day and night. God loves us and wants to bless us. The generosity project clearly helps us to clear see how generous our God is. And he wants to bless us. He's already blessed us, but he wants to give us more of wonderful things. He is not mean or stingy. We are his children, and we should always talk to him, whether we are asking for stuff or we are just relating to him, praising him. We can be assured that God hears our prayers and that he is a good God. There isn't a prayer that he doesn't hear or see or feel. He sees those tears that we pour out on when we go through sleepless nights. He sees the tears that we pour out when we think about lost friendships. So he knows and he listens to our prayers. And even if we don't always get what we want or think we want, we know that God has our best interest in mind. Being persistent is like pinning ourselves to God with our prayers and not let go of him until we get an answer, which could be yes, or wait, or no. A persistent attitude, I would say, speaks a lot about being desperate for God's intervention. I wonder if you've been praying to God for some time now, for some things for a long time. Please listen to me. Persistence in prayer is not futile. Be encouraged. Trust that God's timing and justice is perfect, even when not immediately evident. Three, we will look at how God is the one who guarantees justice. And we cover that in verse 6 to 8. Having concluded the parable, Jesus asks his disciples this question in verse 7. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? If an unjust judge who doesn't fear God will rule in a poor woman's favor because of her persistence based on the law, won't a holy God give justice to his people? His people who continually bring their prayers to him, who persevere in praying to him, praying in accordance to his word. I tell you, Jesus answered that for us. I tell you in verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The question here isn't about God's willingness to be just. Rather, it is the question is about our willingness to persevere by faith in prayer based on his word. Believers have a legal right to answered prayer. Why? Because we have a mediator, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a perfect sacrifice to reconcile us to God. And you may ask, when should we pray? Jesus taught his disciples that they should always pray. And we know that God really listens every time we talk to him. God does not feel that our prayers bother him. If you have things that you have been asking God for a long time, and it hasn't happened yet, instead of quitting, hang in there. Persist in prayer. The acronym PUSH, P-U-S-H, stands for pray until something happens. May I encourage every believer to be like that widow in their spiritual lives, tenacious and unwavering in their faith and prayers, continuing to trust amidst delays or silence. A grandmother had a habit of praying for her grandchildren and her children every day without failing. Her grandkids believed she was a superhero for her unwavering prayer and faith. Years later, we are told, they saw the fruits of those prayers manifested in their lives, reflecting on her persistence, on how her persistence shaped their lives. It's almost like she has read that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that says, pray without ceasing. Grandmother knew that her superhero cape was in her consistent prayers for her loved ones. Let me remind you also of Jesus' role in constantly advocating for us before God, modeling and demonstrating ultimate persistence. In a broader sense, Jesus embodies the persistence of prayer through his life, illustrating that faithfulness in communication with the Father is essential. If it is essential for him, it is also essential for us. And his prayers culminate in him interceding for us in heaven. His work on earth having been finished, he moved on to being an intercessor for us. And of course, when he was leaving earth, he gave us the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Without his help, we cannot sustain the intensity of persistent prayer. And we ought to pray until something happens. Push requires more than human determination. It requires more than just making New Year resolutions. Because human effort easily caves in. But when the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, in our lives, is the dynamite, the dynamo that runs the engine of prayer. Romans 8:26 reminds us that in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Holy Spirit gives us freedom and transforms us from being timid before God to prayer warriors. For those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Daniel 11:32. This passage assures Christians that their prayers matter. It teaches that persistence in prayer allows us to develop a deeper relationship with God and aligns our hearts with his will and encourages us not to lose hope in times of discouragement. Those struggling with despair or unanswered prayers can find comfort in knowing that God is attentive to their cries. The question is, do you know God? We get to know him only through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save us. Have you received Jesus? You can, by coming to him and saying a simple prayer. So where do we go from here? What are the practicalities? Who would you be praying for? I believe that for some of us in this church, I know that some agonize over the fact that their children raised in church are no longer following Christ. I think it's instructive for us to persist in our prayers, that the seed that has been sown in those kids' lives years and years ago when you raised them in the church will come up again. The seed will germinate. The seed will blossom. So don't give up. Let's go on praying. How would you be praying for the church? What do you want to see happen in our communities? Revival, transformation of lives and cities. And that video that we watch challenges us to think. Nobody sitting here can be excused. It may, at the time those elderly ladies were praying, it looked insignificant, but they had a vision. They had their thoughts aligned with the purposes of God. So the challenge for us as we continue in our journey here on earth, we must keep asking ourselves, what do we want for Emmanuel? And what does the vision that we have? And how do we get it to happen? I tell you the secret from what we can see. It's the secret of being in the closet. So that what happens in the closet will then be manifested in public. So let's challenge one another to key in into praying for our community, praying for our children, praying for our grandchildren, praying for our streets, praying for our schools, until we see change come. For change will come. Job it was that said, he will not give up until his change comes. Let us be determined. It is, we are not too young, we are not too old to intercede for God's business to be fruitful in our time and in our life. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you taught your disciples that they should always pray and not give up. You have also taught us that we should not give up, but always pray. Help us to make prayer our lifestyle, our food, our desire, as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.